and our teenagers also tonight. I'm going to show you a verse of scripture. I'm not going to preach, but we're going to study for a few minutes tonight on this subject. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 26 just for a few minutes tonight, and I want to look at one little phrase that I've heard a thousand times, and you have too, but we're going to look at it tonight. My heart's burden is to pray and for us to pray. And everybody in here ought to desire to be what the old-timers call a prayer warrior. We need some ladies that will become prayer warriors for God. And we need some men who will become prayer warriors for God. I don't know what kind of shape your prayer life's in, but more than likely, most of us could use a little help in that area. Brother Tim was just sharing with me about his dad. His dad has cancer really, really bad, and we'd like for you to pray for him and others in their family. And as he said, everybody knows somebody that needs something from the Lord, and we do. And if you don't, you will. Your turn's coming. Now, the phrase I want to look at is Matthew 26, verse 41. Everybody look at verse 41. Here's what the Lord told his disciples. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Three little words there at the first of that verse. There's a lot in that verse. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Now, I've heard that ever since I've been saved. I've quoted it. I've heard preachers say it a thousand times, I know. What does that mean? Watch and pray. What does it mean? Would somebody like to try to tell us what the Bible, what the Lord meant when he said, watch and pray? Well, somebody said, well, what does it mean? It don't mean watch TV. That's what people do now, watch and pray. Boy, I do my praying while I'm watching the ball game, preacher. Well, I don't think that's what that verse means. It don't mean watch a computer. Would it mean, well, I'm watching the stock market, you know. That means like keeping an eye on what's going on. You know, the stock market fell. I don't even understand that stuff. But they said that it fell Monday 1,000 points, worse than ever in history in one day. Monday. And Brother Ralph talked a little bit about that Monday night, about China devaluing their dollar and it making our market. Because China is the number one economic power in the world now. The United States is no longer number one. He showed a statistic up there that I think it was in 1980, China had 1/10 of the economic wealth and power of the United States in 1980. Now they have surpassed us. And it shows that, you know what's happening to America? It's getting weaker and weaker. You know why? Because we will not repent and get right with God. And the Lord will use heathen to punish us before it's over with. You wait and see. I don't want that, but that's what's going to happen. Well, what does watch and pray mean? I've heard preachers make jokes, you know, where he said, I was going down the road, you know, and it was pouring rain. And they said, I'll watch and pray. I'll watch and, you know, like I'll close one eye and watch with the other. I don't think that's what he meant, but that meant. I remember one time up in Marion, somebody called me and they said, Danny said, we want you to pray for this woman. Said, she's demon possessed. And I said, well, okay, I'll pray for her. They said, we're sending her over to talk to you. I said, oh boy. And they said, and I didn't know who it was, what they was bringing. And it was like during the morning. And they come to see me and they want to meet me at the church up in Marion. And this weird preacher brought this woman to see me. And when I say weird preacher, have you ever met these preachers that they're just weird? I mean, you get a weird feeling around them. I mean, he wasn't like us. I mean, he was like, oh, it is so nice to meet you, Reverend. You know, out there somewhere. And this guy came, and he brought this woman who was demon-possessed. And they said, all right, we'll meet you at church. We came in the door, and I said, well, come on over here, and we'll pray. And we stood right here in front of the pulpit. And it was dark. We had like two lights on in there, and that made it even scarier. And I said, all right. I said, I quoted some scripture, and I said, all right, y'all want me to pray? Let's pray. And I said, dear God, I pray. And all of a sudden I thought, Lord, she's demon-possessed, and he might be, for all I know. And when I thought maybe I started peeping a little bit. I said, watch and pray. I don't think that's what the Lord meant when he said that verse. But I was watching and praying that day. I thought, now, if their head starts spinning around, I'm out of here. It didn't, and we prayed, and I left. I don't think that's what the Lord meant when he said watch and pray. What did he mean? What did he mean? You know what Daniel did? Daniel would rather spend the night in a lion's den than to miss one day of prayer. That's a thought, isn't it? And he did. Watch and pray. I think he meant like stay on the lookout. Watch what's going on, pray, and keep your head up and know what's going on. So I want to say three things about it this evening. And I want to talk about our prayer life. I have been trying to pray more. I don't know if you can tell it, but if I keep doing it, you'll be able to tell it. And because it's like shining up some. It gets shinier and shinier. And the more a person prays, the more you can tell it if you're around them. And I hope that it'll rub off on you. So I'm going to say three things. Watch before you pray. Watch while you pray. And thirdly, watch after you pray. First, watch before you pray. Now, in other words, we ought to stay in a good frame of mind before we pray. If I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to pray before I go to church, or I'm going to pray before I go to work, I'm supposed to watch before I even go. I've been going up in my closet and praying, and I get down like this, and I say, oh, Lord, I pray, Father, that you know. Now, we're supposed to be in the right frame of mind before you pray. Now, how many have ever done this? You just rush in thoughtlessly, rush out thoughtlessly, and more or less just say a bunch of words. You know, say, I'm in such a big hurry, I'm going to be late for work. Dear Lord, I pray that you bless mom and daddy, and I pray that you bless kids, and Lord, I pray you bless them, and your mind's out there on the clock, and you just blah, 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 blah. That's not really what he meant for us to do. He meant for us to take enough time for our head and our heart to get in that praying. Listen, people, praying ain't just saying words. You just, you know, all of us when we were little said, God is good, God is great. God is great, God is good. Let us thank him for our food by his hand. We all done that when we was little, and I appreciate my mom letting us do that, but really, you know what? That ain't praying, really. That's just vain repetitions, unless you mean it. And I always taught my girls, when they was little, I said, we don't say prayers. We pray. Saying prayers is Hail Mary. We're twiddling beads right here. I'm not playing yoga. Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now in the hour of our death. Pray Mary, Mother of God. And they said over and over. That's chanting. That does absolutely no good. Praying from the heart makes a difference. You know, years ago, there's a great man named John Hyde. And John Hyde got the reputation, Pray and Hide. If you've never seen the book on Pray and Hide, get it. Most Christian bookstores don't even sell stuff like that no more. But I guess you could get on eBay or whatever and find it. Or get on there and read up on Pray and Hide. John Hyde. And Pray and Hide, literally, they said had calluses on his knees from where he prayed all the time. And John Hyde, he would pray, Lord, give me a soul. Lord, and he literally would claim souls, and God would talk to him and save souls. And he prayed one time, and he prayed, he's going somewhere, and he said, Lord, I believe you're going to give me 10 souls. I believe you're going to give me 10 souls. Lord, I pray. And buddy, I mean, he got a hold of God, and God gave him the assurance, and he said, 10 souls going to be saved. Well, he went to somebody's house, and it was a man, woman, 7 kids, 9 of them. And he talked to him about the Lord, and he got saved, and mama got saved, and all the kids got saved. And he said, hallelujah, 9. He said, but Lord, you said 10. And about that time, somebody knocked on the door, and it was a nephew that came over to visit him, and he led him to the Lord and went on down the road saying 10 souls. That's somebody that knows how to pray. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm preaching to believers tonight. believe. That's why nothing like that don't ever happen to us. We don't believe. You know what we ought to do? We ought to start believing that God can do something when we pray. Amen? Old, old, Oh, how did he pray? Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:11 said, study to be quiet. So when I'm getting ready to pray, I got to get my mind right. I can't go in there with my mind on the ball game, my mind on the news, and my mind on my job, and my mind on our sin. You ever done this prayer? Dear Lord, I pray that you'd bless today, Lord, and I got to get that grace mode. And Lord, I promise so-and-so I'd call them, and all that. And you know, you got to get your mind in the right frame. Watch and pray. Watch before you pray. Watch before you pray. Then you got to be in the right spirit. Not seeking anything else but the will of God. Sometimes when we pray, it's like we're trying to talk God into agreeing with us. But Lord, you know I need that new car. Lord, you know I need, and you're trying to get him agreeing. That's not praying. I can tell. I don't know if you can understand this, but a lot of times I'm praying about what to preach. And one of the hardest parts of my job is knowing what to preach. Once I know what I'm going to preach, I can pretty well go with it real good, but boy, I drive myself. When I'm preaching off in revival somewhere, she can tell you sometimes, no more than she's been. I've been in motel, and I pray, and I drive myself crazy, saying, I want this, I want that. Should I preach this? Should I preach that? Sometimes I got three sermons, and I don't know if either one of them is the will of God. And I say, Lord, and I thought, if I preach that, then this happened. If I preach that, then maybe they need this, and maybe they need that. And you know what the best thing I ever done was? Surrender. Just say, Lord, it don't matter to me. I'll do whatever you want. I'll get up and sing Jingle Bells if that's what you want me to do. Like that guy did. You've heard that story, ain't you? Can I tell it right quick? It ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I love that story. Guy said, this guy died out here in the country somewhere, and they called this preacher to preach a funeral. This supposedly really happened. And you know, the preacher goes around the funeral, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And they said, preacher, they said, he loved you. He thought there wasn't nobody in the world like you. Old John here died, said he loved you. He thought you was the greatest thing in the world. Said, preacher, he wants you to sing Jingle Bells at the funeral. He said, are you sure? That's right, preacher. He told us he wants you to sing Jingle Bells. That's sort of an odd request, but you know, preachers, whatever anybody wants at a funeral, we're supposed to try to do it for them. That's right, Jingle Bell. He said, okay. So he got up there, and everybody's sitting there at the funeral. Everybody's all somber and serious and everything. And he thought, well, I'll try to make it sound funeral-ish. And so he said, Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle all the way. Everybody went, what in the world, man, that idiot. And they thought, Lord, Hammer. And after it was over, they came to him and said, oh, preacher, I'm sorry. We had it wrong. He meant when they ring them golden bells. He got up there and sang Jingle Bell. But you know what? he's trying to accommodate the family. But anyway, you have peace when you surrender. I'm telling you, every day I go through this. I want to do one thing, and deep down in my heart, the Lord wants you to do or say or act another certain way. You know when you'll have peace? When you just give in. Okay, Lord. What I want don't matter. What do you want? If you want peace in your heart, you say that prayer and mean it. It don't matter what I want, Lord. Your will be done. Peace will come right in your heart. You know why people don't have peace out there? Because they won't live for themselves all the time. Won't do what they want to instead of what God wants. You'll never have peace with rebelling against Him. So when I go to pray, I want to come in the right mind and I want to come in the right spirit. Number two, watch while you pray. Watch while you pray. First of all, a wondering thought. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we're to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Now that's easier said than done. Lord have mercy, my mind. Lord, you have no idea how many things crossed through my brain. Oh, Lord have mercy. My head, You know them little things, the best way I can describe it is you get one of them little things you set on the coffee table and it's got a little snowman and stuff in it and you grab it and shake it, you know, and the snow's going around and everything. You know them little things? That's where my head is. When I bow down to pray, it's just a million things just going around and around and around and around. And it takes a good while for it just to settle down. Because I think, dear God, oh my goodness, you didn't answer that text. Dear Lord, you know, as soon as you say dear Lord, your mind starts on 50 different things that you should be doing. Now, I'm going to fuss at y'all a little bit because you need it. And you know what? Y'all need to pray. I can tell being around some of y'all, you don't pray much because your attitude, because your demeanor, because you're hateful. Your heart's, you want it plain? There it is. Your heart. Listen, people that are right with God are easy to get along with. Amen? Old snobby, grouchy somebody ain't praying very much. Ain't praying very much. Wondering thoughts. Martin Luther said this, let prayer be your first business in the morning and your last business of the evening. Good idea. In other words, you don't just wake up and go, and grab the remote and turn TV on. Big mistake. Get your Bible, read it, and pray first. Let God speak to you before people talk to you. And you talk to God before you talk to people. Don't get up in the morning, first thing you do is check your phone and get on the internet and get on your computer. I mean, good night. You ain't going to watch them pray like that. Spend time with the Lord, people. You know what? Your internet and your TV and your phone and all your modern conveniences are your worst enemy. That's some of y'all's worst enemy because you won't take time for God. You've got time, you just won't take it. We got all these modern conveniences. Punch a button, wash the clothes. Punch a button, wash the dishes. But you don't have to turn your hand, and I'll be doggone if we don't let the devil cheat us out of our prayer time with all our modern conveniences. Let's watch and pray. The old self nature. Your old self will take many forms, buddy. When you kneel down, your back hurts. I kneeled down the other night at the tent meeting, and I was kneeling up against the altar, and you know, they got shavings on the ground, and my knee here where I hurt it playing ball, it don't really hurt, but if you keep it in a certain position and push it, it hurts a little bit. It don't bother me, but I can tell it ain't exactly like the other one. And it'll start hurting. When you get down to pray, you'll have a pain somewhere. Ain't that right? Your back, your head, your neck. As soon as you get down, dear Lord, oh, something hurts over here somewhere. The devil will make sure that you'll concentrate on that pain or that whatever it is that's bothering you, that headache or that bad back or that foot or that arthritis or something. That's why you better pray while you feel good. Because the time's coming when you ain't going to feel good and it's hard to pray. You know what? You know what one of my biggest enemies is in praying, among these other things I mentioned, is sleep. You get sleepy. You get really sleepy. Because of my knee, I lay flat on my belly to pray. And I've got to place up in the closet. And I go down and I lay down like that. I'm gone, man. That's awful, isn't it? And you catch yourself saying the same thing over and over and over again, talking out of your head and everything else. You know what? This old nature, I used to walk, grab my Bible and just walk when we'd have all night prayer meetings, just walk and pray to keep from falling asleep. After the kids has gone to bed at night, that might be some of the time, only time you ladies get to get alone with God or before they get up. Carrie, you know, she's homeschooling this year, and she's got them angels 24 hours a day. How would you like to have Aniston 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? The other two you might could handle, but Lordy mercy, that kid, Lord have mercy. She must get that from her daddy. Think about that, and you know what? There's no peace from 7:30 in the morning till 10 at night. And you might have to walk the floor and hold that Bible to pray. But I'm telling you, watch and pray. Matter of fact, the Lord came to him that time and he said, found him asleep and said, watch and pray. Sometimes you might be better off to miss 30 minutes of sleep and spend that time praying. I can't overemphasize it. I wish I could get y'all to believe what I'm saying. I wish everybody in here would really take this to heart and say, you know what? That wasn't just a Bible lesson. I need to do that. I need to do it. What does the Bible say? Not be hearers of the word, but what? Doers. You're not supposed to just come in here to ease your conscience. Oh, I went to church Wednesday night, so I've done my religious duty. Do it, brother. Let's pray. Let's start praying. We could have office camp meeting ever was, and when I use that terminology like the best, if we'd all pray. God can do it. Old Donnie Dalton's coming from over in Tennessee, and he's an old mountain preacher. Him and Hallelujah Howard don't need to be on the same pew, let me tell you. Brother John Mitchell and the Edwards family and Frankie and no telling who all else. We could have a great camp meeting if you'd take to heart what I'm saying tonight. Let me hurry right quick. Not only should we watch ourself hindrance, but the interruption of the enemy. The devil will work on you when you're praying. Anybody can testify to that? Lord have mercy over your thoughts. The main concern of the devil is to prevent Christians from praying. The devil hates us praying more than he hates us doing anything else. He laughs at our gifts and our talent and our ability. But when we get on our knees, that's what makes the devil nervous. And I have had more people than one, more people than two, more people than five tell me this. And if you felt this, you don't have to admit it because I know you're embarrassed. But I have had people tell me, Brother Danny, when I get down to pray and I really get hooked up and get in there and right with God, all of a sudden I have the most evil, wicked, ungodly thoughts just come from just crazy stuff. And I thought, how could I think this and me down on my knees praying? Well, you know where that's coming from? It's coming from your enemy. It's coming from your enemy. And when that happens, you know what you do? You plead the blood of Jesus. If you have thoughts that are not right, a friend of mine fasts a lot more than most of us do. And he said when he fasts, about the third day of his fasting, he says he has the most ungodly, wicked. He said stuff that I don't even think normally. I don't know where it comes from. But he said, if I go ahead and fast and pray, it goes away. It's like the devil just comes and he does everything he can to stick stuff in your head. It's like you got a slide projector and he pulls out an old wicked thing, stick it in. Wow, where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? And you say, I plead the blood of Jesus. And that'll get rid of him. You got to watch out for the interruption of the enemy. Amen? That's right. And then thirdly, I'll say this. Watch after you pray. What should we watch for after we pray? Answers. Some preacher, I think it's Dr. Ruckman, one of them, a couple of years ago, I was listening to a message, and he said he kept a prayer journal, like in the back of his Bible. He said, prayed for so-and-so or something. And then when it's answered, write it down, July the 10th, 19, whatever, 20, and check it off. We ought to expect some answers when we pray. I think the reason a lot of people don't pray is because they really don't think nothing's going to happen anyway. And you know what? We ought to start believing. Mays Jackson was a great old-fashioned Baptist preacher, lived in these mountains, preached over the country for years and years and years, and he's dead now. And he went to NC State College. And he went down there to NC State and before he even got right with God. But he had an old praying mama that lived up in the mountains in Hendersonville. And some of y'all might have heard Joe Arthur. I don't know if y'all have been listening to Joe Arthur on the camp meeting hour this week. Y'all live down here where you can't get, if you got a good radio, 780 every day at 2 o'clock, they broadcast the camp meeting hour. And he was telling that Mays was sitting in class in NC State, and the professor got up, and he said, one thing I want to tell you people is that this stuff about God is not true, and praying is a waste of time. And Mays Jackson raised his hand and said, sir, I want to say something. He said, he was a heathen. He wasn't even living right. He said, yes, sir. He said, if praying's a waste of time, let me ask you something. He said, I got a praying mama up yonder in Hendersonville tonight. And he said, I was growing up and we didn't have nothing to eat and daddy was gone. He said, we didn't have no food for us kids sitting on the table. He said, my old mama got her Bible in her arm, went up in the woods and stayed an hour and a half. And said, mama come back down through the woods wiping tears and shouting and saying, I just heard from heaven and everything's going to be right now. And he said, about that time somebody knocked on the door and said, I just got to thinking about y'all and brought you some food. He said, if the prayer's not real, you're going to have a hard time convincing me and my mama of that. Now listen, the world's going to try to shut us up, y'all. The world don't want us to pray, but God is still on his throne. And God still answers prayer. And he can do what for you, just what he did for Maze's mom. And when's the last time you stayed in the woods for an hour and a half? There's the difference. There's the difference. We say, Lord, why do I have to go through something like this? That's our praying. Instead of getting there saying, dear God, I know you've done everything and you made heaven and earth and we need you now, Lord, we need you. Brother, that's when you'll get somewhere. Amen? I heard about a little girl named Joy and years ago. And Joy was praying. She wanted a doll or something for Christmas and prayed for 1,400 pennies. 1,400 pennies, that'd be $14, I guess. And she kept praying, God, give me 1,400 pennies. And lo and behold, a neighbor showed up with a jar of pennies, said, we've been saving these, and we want to bring them to y'all. Just over 1,400 pennies in that jar. Now we hear stuff like that, and we say, oh, it's just, no, the Lord's done stuff like that over and over, thousands of times for people who will pray. You reckon you might could spend a little time in prayer tonight and tomorrow? Now, don't you think every one of us, I mean, I'll bet you if we totaled up how much everybody in here has prayed today, it probably wouldn't be 2 hours. All of us put together. That's a sad, pitiful thing. The world's going to hell. The churches are falling off. Most churches don't even have Wednesday night, Sunday night. No revival, no bus ministry, no soul winning, nobody getting saved. And people are praying less and less instead of more and more. Praying, Charles Spurgeon said, will make you leave off sinning. Or sinning will make you leave off praying. Amen? You ought to see some answers once in a while. Amen? Usually, the devil will try to stop you from praying. He'll even get in your family, your kids. The devil will get in your kids. They'll just go crazy. I've been to visit people before and sit down and little kid sitting over here watching TV and start talking to mama about the Lord and the kid just goes, nah, nah. I want to lay my hand on it and say, I rebuke thee, Satan, in Jesus' name. Really? You might not believe that. They got a hold of kids in the Bible. The devil did. I mean, they start acting weird. They start acting weird. You start trying to witness to them and they're all over my man. I get their head and turn it towards them like that. You don't think the devil's real? He'll get in your husband. He'll get in your wife. He will. You start praying real hard and some of your husband get full of the devil. Or your wife get full of the devil. And just get mean for no reason at all. The devil, that's a devil working in your home. He knows how to get to you. That's opposition. It usually comes in a way that you don't expect it. Your helpmeet, your provider, your husband, your children, your family, your sister, your mom or dad or somebody. Now, let's turn to Isaiah 62, and I'm going to give you this verse and we'll be done. Isaiah 62, and I hope you'll take that what I've given you here tonight and do something about it. Isaiah 62. Miss Desi can come. Isaiah 62. And I'll show you a verse of scripture that got a great prayer warrior started praying. Isaiah 62. Look at this verse. Verse 6. Isaiah 62:6. I have set watchmen, there's that word again, watch, upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. That's what we need to do. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Watch it. Context. Silence don't have a period after it. It has a comma. Keep not silence and give him no rest. Who? The Lord. Till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now look at that. That verse said, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but it just says keep aggravating him and bothering him and staying after till he does what we want him to do. Give him no rest. I just mean say, Lord, I'm not giving up. Lord, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up on my brother. Lord, I'm not, you're going to listen to me before this is over with. Lord, I'm just going to keep praying until you hear me. That's not being disrespectful. God will not continually turn a deaf ear to his children sincerely praying. Glory to God, people. God's still on his throne, ain't he? Ain't God still real? Listen, every one of us need our prayers answered. Listen, let's get in the altar and pray tonight. You, let's just get in here. You can pray at your seat, pray at the altar, and let's just get up here tonight. And if you want to pray there at your seat, that's fine. If you want to come up here and pray, that's fine. And let's call on the Lord before we leave. He'll not turn a deaf ear to his children. He's not going to tell you no. God's not going to continually just ignore you. He's going to hear us, glory to God. He's going to hear our prayers. He's going to answer our prayers. Let's call on him tonight. Our Heavenly Fathers, we come before you tonight. Lord, it is with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord, that we come before you this evening. And Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come in the name that's above every name, praying that your will be done. Bless this church. Lord, bless Shining Light Baptist Church. Cause it to grow and prosper for the glory of God. Supply every need financially, spiritually, every way and every area that we have needs. Lord, bless every family here, every man, every husband, every wife. God, bless them, Lord, we pray. Lord, bless all them kids back there, Lord. All this big multitude of kids we had up here Sunday night. Bless every one of them as they go to school and take care of them. And Lord, I know that you're able. God, I know there's nothing too hard for you. God, I know you're able. God, I know you're able. Thank you for encouraging us tonight to pray. God, I pray that you'd help us all to be a prayer warrior. That we wouldn't just say a little quick, vain, empty words, but we'd pray and spend time praying. Dear God, please, Lord, I pray, I beg, I ask, I plead in Jesus' name that you'd send a great revival, send an old-fashioned camp meeting. Holy Ghost of God, walk up and down these aisles, Lord. Save lost souls, change lives, touch people's hearts, God. Lord, do what needs to be done and get glory and honor to yourself. God, will praise you and thank you for it. Now, Lord, I pray for every one of these on the altar tonight and these in their seats. I pray that you'd bless them. I pray that you'd encourage them. I pray that every one of them will get victory in their heart. And Lord, that you'd give them a desire to live for you and serve you. Thank you for what you've done, what you are doing, what you're going to do. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it all. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some still praying tonight? Amen.